Daniel 4:28 says, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from among men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times, that's 7 years, shall pass over thee until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whosoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of the heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. And I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and they that walk in pride, he is able to abase. I want you to notice a phrase in verse 34, and mine understanding returned unto me. And verse 36, at the same time, my reason returned unto me. And I want to speak a little bit this morning on the subject of humility and mental health. Humility and mental health. I want you to notice that the mental health of Nebuchadnezzar improved when he learned humility in his life. He said, mine understanding returned to me. My reason returned to me. This year we've been trying to study a little bit about humility. That's our theme. From time to time during the course of the year, I try to bring out messages on whatever our themes may be. Former years, some of you that are here remember those things. I'm trying to focus on humility. I'm trying to have us as a church learn about it more than we've ever learned about it before. And all the things that humility can bring to us, can bring to the table for us. I believe there are a lot of mental health issues today on earth. I believe there seems to be more mental problems in people on earth today than ever before. I believe there's two reasons for it. Number one, there's more people on earth. More people on earth, there's going to be more mental problems. But second of all, I believe there's more sin on earth. And sin affects the human mind, in particular, the sin of pride. The sin of pride. Nebuchadnezzar had a problem with pride, and it affected his mind and drove him to insanity. And he ended up out like an animal, eating grass like an oxen. Nebuchadnezzar was one of the most powerful men that has ever walked this earth, one king of only four empires that have ever ruled the whole earth. And even he said, at the end of his experience, in verse 37, those that walk in pride, he, God, is able to abase. See, Nebuchadnezzar admitted here that he was walking in pride. And as a result of his walk in pride, he lost his understanding. He lost his ability to reason. He lost his mental health and became insane. He's an extreme case. But there's all kinds of cases. You see, pride is not a problem. Pride is a sin. It is a sin that needs to be repented of. It's a very dangerous sin that can cause a person's mind to snap. Now, I am not a mental health counselor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a psychiatrist. I'm not trying to give medical advice today from the pulpit. But I will say this, the Bible and Jehovah Rapha, the Lord Jesus Christ that healeth thee, have been around long before psychologists, long before psychiatrists, and long before mental health counselors, helping people. Now, I understand also that some mental health problems are genetic. Some mental health problems are the result of traumatic abuse in childhood, sexual abuse, physical abuse, profound verbal or emotional abuse that has caused people's delicate minds to be damaged. I understand that some are caused by other physical infirmities that people are born with, no fault of their own, perhaps Down syndrome or some type of mental retardation. And in some people there's a chemical problems. I understand the Bible is just so complex, or the body rather is so complex. But I believe much of what we're seeing today, when it comes to people having mental problems, is rooted in a sin called pride that not only is affected Nebuchadnezzar here in the Bible, but is affecting many people that live around us in similar ways today, where they are losing their ability to reason. They're losing their ability to understand, and they are literally going insane because of a sin in them called pride that is affecting their mental health. Pride, and I've shared this with you a few times this year already. I hope to say it so many times this year we'll have it memorized. But pride is the constant state of thinking about yourself. Pride is the constant state of thinking about yourself. I have seen people who literally just think about themselves all the time, think themselves into depression, think themselves into sullenness, think themselves into melancholy, think themselves into phobias, fears that are unfounded and do not exist. We are not far removed from history in a state of Virginia recently, where a man, I believe his name is Sung Wee Cho, went berserk and killed 32 people at Virginia Tech. One of the things, I didn't get to follow the story as much as I followed the Klebold and the other guy in 1999, the Columbine killings. I didn't get to follow the story that much because I was in Ohio at the time, preaching up in the hills, no television, no telephone, 5 miles of winding roads to the nearest newspaper. It was great. You ought to try it sometime. I'm telling you, just get away from television, away from telephones, away from newspapers, and you'll just look at God's green earth and creation and stuff, and you'll have yourself a revival. And so I didn't follow it this much, but one thing caught me. One thing caught me is when they interviewed his roommates, and his roommate said he was full of himself and arrogant. And it led to that man losing his mind. Pride affects a person's mental health. It affects a person's mental health. The constant thinking about ourselves, me, myself, and I, thinking that the world revolves around us, especially thinking too highly of ourselves. God's word says if a man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Not only does pride bring mental health problems, it brings delusion to people. Delusion. People walking around thinking they're something when the Bible says we're nothing. Delusional people. And we hear about people like this not very often, thank God. But once in a while we hear about people snapping because, and then they say, why did you do this? Why did you kill your wife? Why did you kill your children? Why did you kill your classmates? And why did you kill your, the guy who fired you or released you from your job? And we hear about these stories more and more and more, and they come up with things like, I was tired of being ignored. I was tired of being laughed at. I was tired of being teased. I was tired of being mocked. He had no right to fire me from my job. She had no right to divorce me. Or I lost a custody battle, and if I'm not going to have my children, nobody's going to have my children. Now, I know those are extremes, but that's all rooted in one thing. It's rooted in pride. It's rooted in pride causing people to have mental health problems. And we see here the healing of Nebuchadnezzar. The healing of his mind when humility was introduced into his life through extreme measures by God's judgment. Now we can avoid God's extreme judgment on our lives by obeying the verse that says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. See, if you and I will be humble, we will have better mental health. We won't go around creating all these fears or creating all these worries or creating all these wars in our minds, thinking the neighbor's thinking about us or doing this or the boss said this or she said that or they're all talking about me when the fact is no one's talking about you. People have just fought themselves sick. I've seen people become disabled over bitterness, unable to get out of wheelchairs because the Bible says their bitterness dries their bones. Mental. All about them. But humility, as I said this year, is the constant state of thinking about God and thinking about others. And notice what happens when Nebuchadnezzar gets his mind back. Verse 37, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. Who is he thinking about now? He's thinking about God. See, humility brought his reason back. Humility brought his understanding back. Humility brought his life back, brought his kingdom back, brought his friends back. Nobody likes hanging around a proud person. And it brought faith into his life. He said, I praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment. You see, that's a person with a sound mind. think about God. He didn't think about God. What did he do right before this? In pride, 7 years earlier, he made an image of himself and demanded everybody worship him. 75 feet high, approximately. 75 feet high, approximately. He made an image, a golden image of himself. He made everybody worship him. That's pride. Now he has a son, Belshazzar. We won't read the whole, but look at verse 17 of chapter 5 now. Nebuchadnezzar dies. Maybe we'll see him in heaven. I don't know. But look at verse 17 now of chapter 5. He has a son, Belshazzar. It says, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would have slew, and whom he would kept alive, and whom he set up, and whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar. What's a one-word synonym for somebody whose heart is lifted up? Pride. And his mind what? Hardened. What hardened his mind? His mind hardened in pride. I'm telling you, pride will affect you mentally. It'll affect your mental health. He was disposed, verse 20, from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men. And notice what happened to him. This is a paraphrase of what we today would call insanity. And his heart was made like the beasts. And his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with dew of heaven. Till he, what's the next word? Came back to him. Knowledge is in the mind. K-N-E-W. His mental health came back to him after he got rid of his pride, after he repented, till he knew that the Most High God ruled. You say, when's God going to leave you alone? When you know that he rules and you don't. That's when God's going to leave you alone. When I know that he rules and I don't, that's when God is going to leave me alone. Well, that's a good thing when that happens. Till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth it over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, what happens here now? Hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest this. You saw what your dad went through. You saw how pride caused him to lose his understanding, his reason, and drove him to insanity. You saw how he turned to me, he humbled himself, and I gave him his mind back, I gave him his reason back, I gave him his kingdom back, and how he began to praise me. You saw all this, and you won't do it like your father did. You won't do it. You're hard-headed and hard-hearted and full of pride. But what did Belshazzar do? Verse 23, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. That's pride. When somebody says, I don't care who God thinks he is or what he tells me, I'm doing what I... And look, I don't care if we're in church or not this morning. Many of us this week lived exactly that way. I don't care what God says tonight. I'm not going to church. I don't care what God says. I'm not reading the Bible. I'm not praying. I'm not witnessing. I'm not giving. It's my money. I'm going to do it whatever I please. And they have brought the vessels of the house. He defamed the house of God and says in verse 23, and the God in whose hand thy breath is and whose all are thy ways thou hast not glorified. Verse 30, and that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. The tale of two men, same family. One had his mind become like iron in pride, Belshazzar. God even wrote with his finger on a wall so he wouldn't miss it. Belshazzar said, I don't care. I'm not going to be like my dad who humbled himself, but Nebuchadnezzar, he humbled himself, and his mental health improved. I'm telling you today, humility can help your mental health. Humility can help your mental health. There was once a man, a cherubim, that beside Jesus Christ, and God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, he had the sharpest mind. He had the sharpest mind of any creature God ever made. His name was Lucifer. You can read about his history in Ezekiel 28. God describes him this way as the king of Tyrus and says, thou sealest up the sum. And then these words about Lucifer in his perfect state, full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. Lucifer knew it. He's just full of wisdom. Wow, he's musical. He's beautiful. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God in heaven. You walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise thou hast filled the midst of thee with violence. I'll come back to that. And thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherubim, Lucifer, from the midst of the stones of fire. And here's the insight now, why such a fall for such a perfect creation. Ezekiel 28:17, thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. And what's the next thing it says? Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. As soon as his heart was lifted up, he began to have mental problems. The wisdom, the knowledge that he was full of wisdom now became corrupted wisdom. Because his heart was lifted up. He started to say, I'm more beautiful than all the other cherubims in heaven. I'm smarter than all the other cherubims in heaven. I'm the only one that's musical. They're all looking to me because of this beautiful music coming out of me. I've got power. In fact, I think I should be God. And that's how Lucifer fell and became the devil and Satan. If you were wondering about his history, read Ezekiel 27. And what happened? As soon as his heart was lifted up, it says his wisdom was corrupted, affected him mentally. And then, as I read earlier, filled the midst of him with violence. Violence. You know what one of the fruits of pride is? Violence. Turn to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, you wonder, why did that guy snap in Virginia? Why was he filled with violence? Because of pride. Pride. He lost his mind because of pride. If somebody had taught him to be saved and taught him to be humble, that would have never happened. He'd still have his mind today. Still have his head today. We need to quit teaching our kids to be proud. We need to quit spoiling our kids. We need to quit teaching our kids that the world revolves around them. Do you want your kids to have mental problems? Look what happens. There's so many things pride produces, but I want to point out one of them here. It says Satan, his wisdom became corrupted. The inside of him, in the midst of him, he was filled with violence. Jesus said about the devil, you are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And he abode not in the truth. He got into Cain. And he got a bad spirit into Cain, and he had Cain kill his brother Abel. And since that time, as you study human history, all you study is wars and murder and violence. And it's rooted in our Satan-like attitude as human beings of being proud. Look what pride does to people. Proverbs 21:24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name who dealeth in, say the next two words, proud wrath. Proud wrath. There's many times, I'm just going to give you a few, but there's many times where pride and wrath, anger, malice, violence are connected. In Isaiah 16, and I'll read this, write it on your notes. In verse 6, it says this, we have heard of the pride of Moab. He is very proud, even of his haughtiness and his pride and his wrath. Pride, wrath. Jeremiah 48, and verses 29 and 30. We have heard of the pride of Moab. He is exceeding proud. His loftiness and his arrogancy and his pride and the haughtiness of his heart. I know his wrath, saith the Lord, but it shall not be so. His lies shall not so affect it. His lies. It says that as a result of Moab's pride, he was filled with wrath and lies or delusion. Delusion. Well, let me ask you something. When nobody sees you, you're all alone and you're in the car, do you ever find yourself overwhelmed with violent thoughts? Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed with anger? Do you ever find yourself overwhelmed with malice when nobody's looking? Maybe even thoughts of physically harming somebody, maybe thoughts of murders. Have you ever found yourself being really angry because people didn't pay attention to you at church? Nobody said anything to me. I'm not getting what I deserve. I deserve to be treated better than this. Do you ever find yourself? Well, maybe you have more control than somebody like Nero. Or Hitler, who history tells us started out as a wonderful man. But their positions brought pride into their heart. And they were exalted in their pride. And they went insane. They started killing people. And Nero started putting Christians on spears, and he put the spears every so many feet in his garden. And he'd put Christians' bodies on spears and cover them in pitch and tar and light them up. And that's how he lit up his gardens. Hitler, Stalin, Pol Pot. They all were little boys once. All of them. But they were never taught the virtues of humility. And how that can improve your mental health. I don't have time this morning to talk about King Saul in the Old Testament. You can read it in 1 Samuel. King Saul was a good man when he started. Great man. Good guy. He didn't want to be king. He didn't want anything to do with it. Samuel was sent by God to anoint him as the first king of Israel. And he did. And then it came time to install him. And Saul was so shy, they couldn't even find him. They found him hidden among the stuff. They said, "What's this guy was head and shoulders above everybody. He was so tall. And they find him hiding. He said, I don't want to do this. And he showed great, great self-control as he was installed as the first king of Israel. And anybody who's installed in any political position immediately has enemies, even before you get your first word out. You can just look at the President of the United States, no matter who it is. But he showed great restraint. The day he was installed, there were some people that were mocking him, and the crowd said, these people ought to be put to death. And Saul said this in chapter number 10, I'll just try to read... Verse 27, but the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents. But he held his peace. That's pretty good. Good start. He held his peace. In the next chapter, chapter 11, and verses 12 down to 23, it says, and the people said unto Samuel, who is he that said, shall Saul reign over us? Bring the men, that we may put them to death. And Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day. For today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. Pretty good man. He's got some temperance here, doesn't he? He's got some self-control. Then the Bible goes on to say that he reigned for 1 year. And then he reigned for 2 years. And he began to forget the Lord. One day his son Jonathan was out, and his son Jonathan won a great victory over the Philistines, and Saul took the credit for it. Pride started to creep in there. One day he couldn't find Samuel, and he couldn't find anyone to offer sacrifices to the Lord so he could pray and get some wisdom on what direction should Israel take. So he intruded into the priest's office of the king and said, well, I'll do the sacrifices. He violated God's law. And then one day another war came up, and one of his soldiers that he liked, David, went out and led a great victory. And the Bible says as they were coming back into town, the women started singing. And they started singing this song where they said, Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And all of a sudden, Saul started getting his pride in his heart. Jealousy. From that point on, brethren, you study the mental health of that man. It goes downhill to the point where he literally goes insane and starts throwing javelins at David and at his own son Jonathan. And he starts stalking David with all of his soldiers, sometimes thousands of them, through the wilderness of En-Gedi and other places while David's hiding in the caves and in the woods. And so he starts stalking him. He forgets his kingdom. He loses all of his reason. He loses all of his perception about what he's supposed to be doing in life. With 1 in 10, I've got to kill this man. He's my enemy. They're starting to exalt him over me. And he goes mad. He goes crazy. And one day Samuel, the prophet, comes up to him and says, you know something? When you were little in your own sight, so then God was with you. And then God helped you. But you're not little in your own sight anymore. And you've lost your mind. And I'm not talking to you anymore. And you know what, Saul? God's not talking to you anymore. And when Saul became lifted up in pride, he lost his mind. He went insane. He became a murderer. He lost his perception of what he was supposed to be doing as a human being. And he never heard from God again. And he never heard from the preacher again. And it got so bad, he had to go to a seance with the witch at Endor to try to find some direction for his life. Humility is the constant state of thinking about God and others. I have never seen a person crack up who spent their whole life thinking about God, but thinking about other people. I've never seen a person crack up who goes into life every day and says, who can I help? How can I pray for you? What can I do to care for this person? Who can I minister to today? Lord, what can I get involved in to help the human race? I've never seen a person lose their mind who found humility. I believe that word up there on that wood plaque literally saved my life from going insane. From a season in my life I could think about was myself. And I lost all perception. I lost all appreciation for my pastor, my church, my dad, my stepmother, my brothers, everything. And if you could play the tape back and see the way I lived during that time, probably somebody would verbalize to say he's lost his mind. The prodigal son, when he was humbled, the Bible says this, when he came to himself, he said, I'll go back to my father. Some of you, your problem is you think about yourself all the time. It's all you think about. You think about this world and that it just revolves around you. And you're getting angry. And you're getting delusional. And you're losing your perception for why you exist. And you feel like taking it out on God or someone else, but maybe you're a little too mild or timid to do that. But in those secret moments of your life, you're shouting, you're screaming, you're punching walls. You're wishing you could hurt people. I got good news for you. Your senses can all come back. Your mental health can improve if you'll start thinking about God and others. The demoniac of Gadara was insane. And the Bible says he was fierce. No one could tame him. Then he crossed paths with Jesus. It was all over. He was sitting and clothed and in his right mind. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, of power, and of a sound mind. I want to encourage you to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord today. Some of you have mental problems. You maybe bought into some excuse some doctor gave you, and I'm not saying they've all misdiagnosed, or some medicine. But the fact is, for some people, it's they just think about themselves all the time. And you're losing your mind. You're losing your perception. You're losing your position God has for you. But it all can come back. Like Nebuchadnezzar, his reason, his understanding, his perception, his kingdom, all came back. When he said, now, therefore, I praise and extol and exalt the God of heaven. There's my focus. God gave him a sound mind. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Our Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name that you'd help us. Help us to have an interest in humility. Lord, there are people here who are almost ready to snap. There are people here who have lived in long seasons of depression, bitterness, delusion, lost all perception of what God wants them to do, lost their position, maybe lost their job, maybe lost their marriage, maybe lost their family. Like the prodigal son, lost it all. But Lord, even he, when he came to himself, said, I will go back to the Father. Oh God, our church needs better mental health. We need better mental health around here, Lord. You are Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. You're the same Jesus, yesterday, today, and forever, that put the worst case ever in the Bible in Mark 5 and gave him a sound mind. A right mind. Lord, help us. There are some here today that are just consumed about thinking about themselves, about their life, about their money, about their time and everything else. Lord, I pray for them. I pray that Thou, O God, would open the eyes of their understanding, that they would begin to see God and to see others. And in taking the focus off themselves, learning humility, find healing to their thought life. God help us, please. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand.